Great to have you with us on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here, and we are beginning the show today by talking with you about the Peninsula Players and the Peninsula Players Theater. And we have a couple of guests for you. I have to tell you right off the bat that I love going to the Peninsula Players Theater. Every year I have a vacation in Door County, at least a few days, do a little hiking, play some golf, attend the state parks, but I always have on my schedule an evening at the Peninsula Players Theater, and I always enjoy it. And a couple of guests to talk more about the theater and about the actors. Rebecca Hurd, one of our guests, is an actor joining the Peninsula Players Theater for the first time this season. Rebecca is part of the show's A Rock Sails By and Blythe Spirit. And Rebecca, welcome.
Thank you so much. It's great to be here.
Well, great to have you here. With us as well, Linda Fortunato. She spent 17 seasons at Peninsula Players. Director, choreographer, actor, and business manager. And Linda, it's great to have you with us as well.
Good morning. Thanks for having us.
And as we talk with these two, I hope you will join in, want to hear from you. Are you part of, maybe you're part of community theater yourself? Tell us how theater adds to your community. What would you like to know about the Peninsula Players Theater? Give us a call. The number is 800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, or you can send us an email to ideas@wpr.org. Linda, let's start with you. For people who've never been, tell us about the Peninsula Players Theater. Where is it located? I think it's Fish Creek, near Fish Creek in Door County, if I'm not mistaken. Describe the space.
Sure. We are very lucky to have a very incredible and unique space. We are in Fish Creek. If you're looking for us, you'll find us between Egg Harbor and Fish Creek. The theater is located on 16 acres of a cedar forest on the shore of Green Bay. So we are very lucky to have nature as our lobby, we like to say. It's a full state-of-the-art theater that is located on this beautiful piece of nature.
Love going, and I love getting there early because you've got such a nice setting. And if you're there, 90 minutes or so beforehand? We usually come around an hour beforehand just to sit in a chair or at a table and look at the lake and watch the sun go down.
Yes, it's one of my favorite places to be in the evening. And we do encourage people to come early, anywhere starting 90 minutes before the show. You can take a stroll around the grounds, look at our beautiful gardens. Our bar is open if you want a beverage before the show. Weather permitting, we'll sometimes have a bonfire. And you can, as you say, sit along the shore and watch the water and the sunset.
I always like to have a drink and watch the sunset. It's perfect. And you have a really interesting history, too. We should get into that a little bit. It goes back to, 1935?
Exactly, 35, yes. We are the oldest resident professional summer theater in the country. There's a lot of adjectives there. but we are in 1935, consistently running a brief pause during World War II and a brief pause during COVID. But other than that, we've been performing the entire time.
Yeah, it's amazing. And you have five plays scheduled for this year. One of them wrapped up already this month. But give us a preview of the season here.
That's right. We do five shows every year. The first show of the year, which is already closed, was called A Rock Sails By. That was a world premiere that we presented this year. The second show, which is running right now, we actually begin its final week today, is Blythe Spirit, play by Noel Coward, that has been loved for many decades. Then in just over a week, we open our third show of the season, which is Dames at Sea, which is a musical. Great music and tap dancing set in the early 1930s. The fourth show of the season is called Trying, which is a beautiful two-character play about finding connection with people who that may appear at first you have nothing in common with each other, but finding ways to connect with people from different backgrounds, different generations, and ultimately be able to work together. And then our fifth show of the season, which runs into the fall, into October, is called Baskerville, a Sherlock Holmes mystery. It is the traditional story of the Hound of the Baskervilles, but told in a very untraditional way. It's written by Ken Ludwig, who has written many, many great comedies and farces. And he has taken this incredible, famous Sherlock Holmes story and sort of turned it on its ear by giving it a comic spin. And there are five actors that play over 40 characters in the telling of this show.
I'm thinking back last summer, I saw Murder for Two.
Yes.
With two actors. And it was wonderful. And a rousing ending, at least a curtain call. The curtain call was the most rousing curtain calls I've ever seen.
Yes, for those of you that didn't see it, Murder for Two is a musical mystery whodunit with two characters, as you said, two actors who play many, many characters, and they also both play the piano. It's a musical. There's not a band. It is just the two actors taking turns on the piano, and the curtain call you refer to is they have an incredible piano duet that closes out the show.
Man, it was a great way to end that show, and I'm sure left everyone with a big smile on their face. What's the process like for selecting plays each season?
Sure. It's not an easy process. It involves reading a lot of plays and remembering plays I've seen over the years. And the Peninsula Players has had an amazing tradition since its inception in the 1930s about always providing variety. So we pride ourselves on trying to get as much variety within those five shows as possible. So there's usually a mystery, there's a musical, there's a comedy, there's something with a little more drama to it, and finding a balance so that people who are here longer than seeing more than one show are able to see some very different offerings. So it's sort of trying to keeping that in mind, that tradition of variety, as well as what would our audience like or find interesting or appealing, or maybe something they've never heard of, but know that it's something that would be right up people's alley.
Don in Iron River says he never knew there was a theater in Door County. And so he says, thanks to you for teaching him something new, which is pretty cool. You know, we should talk about the facility. I think I hosted a show, my own show, live from the facility right after the revision or the remodeling took place. It's a fantastic place to watch. Describe that.
Sure. So our the facility we're in now, the theater we're in now, was built in 2006. Is that right? 2006, yes. and it's on the exact same footprint of the theater that was here before us. We had been performing in the original stage house that had been here since the 30s. And so it was time for an update. So it is a fully modern contemporary theater. We have all of the technology that you would expect at a theater in a big city. And our audience is fully enclosed. So it feels like an indoor theater, but one of the things that I think makes it the most special is the side walls of the audience portion of the theater open. So the goal is that throughout the entire summer, those sides are open to the air. So you sort of feel like you are part of outdoors, even though you're still indoors, you're completely covered. If it rains, we can keep the sides open, but yet you still have the gardens. You can still see the water from some of the seats. So we are still part of nature while we're protected from nature, if necessary.
Yeah. And I would say too, the acoustics are pretty darn good. That's all a bit of a surprise maybe for some people. It's not for me. It's a great place to watch and hear.
We are very lucky with that. Not only did the original architects and acousticians work together to make sure that the theater was built for that, but we also have great teams who design the sound for each show and are very aware of people need to hear what's happening in the plays. So yes, the acoustics are great. We also do have assisted listening devices and a hearing loop system. So people who need that can borrow those for the course of the show. They're very simple. They're just headphones that you put on and a little unit that you can get amplification personally in your seat if you need it.
Helen in West Salem has a question for you. Let's go there. Hi, Helen.
Hi. I have two questions. One is, where did the players come from? And the second one is, I was told that women need to wear skirts when they attend, and is that right?
No.
We do not have a dress code. No, you can wear anything you want. Some people come dressed to the nines. Other people are going to be in shorts and sweatshirts. So come as you are.
And the actors, where do the actors come from? Maybe we could bring Rebecca into this too, but start with you, Linda.
Sure. So our actors come from everywhere. Most of our actors come from the Midwest. We have a lot of our actors come from Chicago and also from Wisconsin, from Milwaukee and Madison. But we occasionally do have actors from further away. We have occasional actors come from California or New York or New Hampshire. We had an actor from Maryland last year. So primarily the Midwest, but anywhere in the country.
Well, how did you land there, Rebecca?
Yes, I'm based out of Chicago. So Linda held auditions near Chicago, and that's where we met for the first time. And I was able to read for several different plays, and that's how it all began.
And you were in a Rock Sales By, and that was a world premiere. What was that like?
I love being in world premieres because it's so exciting to see new work being created right in front of you. And Sean Grennan, our wonderful playwright, was so lovely to grace us with his presence every day in rehearsal. So whenever we had questions about a scene or a particular line or even as specific as a particular word, he could chime in and give us his thoughts about what his intention was behind that particular moment.
And this is, of course, as I said, and you said, it's your first year at Peninsula Players. What's the experience like as an actor?
Oh, it's extraordinary. It's so unique. Because, usually you get cast in a show and you show up for rehearsals and then you leave and go home and then you show up for the shows. And you establish lovely relationships with the people you're working with. But here, you're living on campus your entire time here through multiple shows. I'm doing two shows this year, but I've heard in the past some actors have done three or even four shows. So, we're working together, we're eating together, we're hanging out together because, most of us are away from home. So it really... the people here become your family while you're here. And what's lovely is that everyone's really lovely. everyone's a really good person and you enjoy being around people. So we have breakfast and lunch and dinner together. We all eat at those same picnic tables that patrons come and eat at before they come see a show. And it's a really community-driven experience, which I just love. I'm having the greatest time.
Rebecca Hurd, one of our guests, the other, Linda Fortunato. Linda spent 17 seasons at Peninsula Players, and Rebecca is her first time around. Questions for them, I hope you'll join in, or comments maybe about plays you've seen there. Give a call. The number is 800-642-1234, or you could email us, the email address, ideas@wpr.org, ideas@wpr.org. Trina LaSousa, our engineer today, Clara Neipert, our producer. I'm Larry Mueller for the Ideas Network. Thanks so much for joining us today on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here. We're talking about the Peninsula Players Theater with our two guests, Linda Fortunato and Rebecca Hurd. Linda has been there for 17 seasons. Rebecca, this is her first season at Peninsula Players. Questions for them, I hope you'll join in, or maybe comments or maybe an experience to share at the theater. Have you attended? I have many a time, and I've always enjoyed it. Love to hear what you have to say. Number to call, 1-800-642-1234, or you could email us, email address ideas@wpr.org. And someone emailed in, Rebecca, when did you know you wanted to become an actor?
Oh. I think I knew pretty early on. I had a wonderful arts teacher and theater teacher in third grade. And we put on the production Grease. I played Sandy in Grease in third grade. And, you know, it was a bit optimistic that a bunch of third graders could, A, deal with that material and be able to put it on. But she really helped us along the way while we performed, mouthing the lyrics and the dance moves to us in the front row. But I kind of got the bug early, and I ended up going to a performing arts high school. So that was the best decision that I've ever made, because even as a high school student, I was able to learn what it was like to be an artist and what were my creative impulses. And so from that program, I then went to a four-year college program at the University of Minnesota, the Guthrie Theater. They used mm-hmm. to have a partnership, and got my BFA in acting there and studied classical theater. And then I've been working ever since. So it's really all I've ever known. And I've never questioned it because it just feels right.
Well, it's interesting to me how a teacher or there's one person that sparks it. Linda, what about you? You've been there 17 years. You must like it.
Yes. Well, I first started at Peninsula Players as a performer as well. I, similar to Rebecca, I started doing theater when I was in elementary school, but I did not know that was where my career was headed. I was actually a little late realizing that it was something I'd always done and loved, but it didn't really occur to me like, oh, this could be my job. So I did go to a liberal arts four-year college. I went to Millikan University in Illinois and got my degree in theater and started performing immediately out of school, and then branched out to choreography and directing, and was very fortunate to be cast in a show at Peninsula Players. I didn't really know any, I knew nothing about Door County. I knew nothing about the theater. Greg Vinkler, who was the artistic director before me, I knew him from Chicago and auditioned for the season and was cast and just fell in love and kept returning. As you said, in the opening, as starting just as an actor and then continued as a choreographer and a director. And then the last two seasons have taken over as artistic director.
What made you decide to start the directing part of it? I mean, you were an actor. Did you always have that in the back of your head?
I got some directing experience in college, and it's something that I really loved. After I had been performing professionally for quite a few years, I realized that as a being a performer and being a choreographer or director, although you're all working together, it's sort of a slightly different creative muscle, I guess, if you could put it that way. And when I started doing more directing, I realized that as much as I love performing, directing just felt like, oh yes, this is the seat that I want to be in. It just felt right to me. And I still perform, but directing is the main love right now.
Oh, business manager too?
Yes, that was brief. That was just a season and a half. I did that job. And actually, that job was invaluable for the experience that I got with that job. Now that I'm artistic director, a lot of the things that I learned during that season are things that I now do, or at least need to know how to do, need to be part of. So yes, I've worn a lot of different hats here. And like you say, yes, I love it. So that business manager year was, I had auditioned for the season. There were no roles that were right for me that year, and that sort of happened, and I jumped at the chance to be here in any capacity.
So now we have Blythe Spirit playing, and Rebecca, I know you're in that play. What do you, maybe give us a little teaser about what it's about and maybe the part you play.
Yes, so Blythe Spirit is about follows the story of Charles. He's a writer, and him and his wife, it's his second wife, his first wife had passed away 7 years ago. So him and his current wife are trying to come up with some ideas to put in a new novel that he's writing about what he calls a homicidal medium. So he invites the local psychic, Madame Arcadi, to come over, and they have a seance. And in this seance, his first wife, who had passed 7 years ago, is she rematerializes, and just from the minute she enters the play, just stirs up a lot of trouble. So it's a lot of fun. It's a British farce, and so I play Elvira. I play the ghost wife that comes back, and it's just really a lot of fun.
So how might current audiences relate to Blythe Spirit? You know, it was written in the 40s, but I don't know, Linda, you want to, well, either one, both of you want to comment.
Sure. That is actually an excellent question. I will say, in choosing the play, I reread it thinking I was going to have to blow the cobwebs off the paper before I read it, you know, feeling like, oh, it's going to be an old play. But there's so much of it that really feels current. And Brendan Fox directed the play, and he did a spectacular job of making it feel current, as well as all of the actors. It's certainly set in a time not today, you know, it's set in the late 30s, so you get that great style and the costumes and the visuals, but there's so much about it that is relatable. Charles is in the midst of this lovely relationship with his current wife, and his ex shows up. And Brendan made the joke one day. It's like, you know, stalking your ex on social media, and what would happen if they show up? And but there's all the foibles and relationships and things are very relatable. He also used the analogy of there's so many TV programs that are doing this now, like Bridgerton and The Great, and there's many of them, shows and things on television or that are set long ago but have a very current vibe, for lack of a better word, and make these things that might at first glance appear old feel really relatable and contemporary. And many of our audience members have commented on that, of how it feels so contemporary, even though it was written decades ago.
I'm sorry, I'm not going to get to see it. I won't be up there. It's all, what it runs till when?
It runs until July 23rd. So this is the final week.
The final week. Well, if you're listening in and you're in the Door County area, I would get your body over there and take a look. Or if you're not, let's talk about Dames at Sea.
Sure. Dames at Sea is a musical. Coincidentally, also set in the 30s. This one, the early 30s. And it is a tribute to early Hollywood movie musicals. So it has all the great tropes of the Hollywood musicals. Love it for, you know, boy meets girl, love at first sight. Oh no, are they going to stay together? A temperamental leading lady, great songs, tap dancing, all done with just six actors. It was written in the It was written in the 1960s. It premiered off-Broadway in 1968. The thing that it was famous for is it was Bernadette Peters' first leading role, and she obviously took off from there. But the writers wanted to, they said they wanted to create a huge Hollywood musical on a postage stamp. And so they've taken all these great themes and styles and put them together in this very intimate, fun musical.
Yeah, it sounds great, and maybe I'll get to see Dames at Sea. I don't have my plans made yet. It's going to be July or it's going to be August probably before I.
Sure, Dames at Sea runs from July 26th to August 13th.
Yeah, it's probably going to be seeing I'll probably be seeing Dames at Sea then. And you're not in that, by the way, Rebecca.
I'm not, no. So after this Sunday, I'll be heading back to Chicago.
I wondered how that worked. I mean, you're in the first one and the last one or something like that. There's some holes in there. You do some summer stock too, do you not?
Yeah, I've done summer stock in the past. What's different about this experience is because it is a repertory theater. You know, you come here and you start rehearsing for the first show that you're in, pretty full day rehearsals. And then once that show opens, you start rehearsing your second show during the afternoon while performing the first show at night. So you're in what's called double duty for a couple weeks. And then when the first show closes and then you're just running the second show, you have your afternoons free. So for the last week, I've been able to explore Door County because I've had my afternoons free and really just taking in all the wonders of the peninsula.
How do you keep the line straight? I could, if it was me, I'd be spouting off the wrong line.
Well, you know, sometimes we don't. and we ad lib and we catch each other. And there, even on opening night, one of the actors had a moment where she looked at another one of us and just said, "I have no idea what I was going to say." And then, you know, all I can say is that we catch each other and support each other. And that's true no matter where you work out, no matter what theater you work at, because there are always going to be days when something just leaves your brain. But, you know, everyone working up here, they're such pros that we all feel really safe with each other on stage, that no matter what happens, we'll be there to catch each other and support each other.
Yeah.
Well, the thing that's interesting about the lines is, you know, even if you have a flub or a memory thing with a line, you wouldn't ever say a line from the wrong play. It's sort of like, you know, if you go in the kitchen to make scrambled eggs, you're not going to accidentally start making spaghetti. Because our brain, although it's, you know, it is a very difficult thing what actors do to memorize lines. And like, you know, like Rebecca was saying, like there might be a mistake within one show, but your brain is able to compartmentalize the two things as two completely separate entities.
Well, it's an amazing skill as far as I'm concerned.
It is.
No doubt about it. Well, and by the way, while we're at it, Linda, maybe you could give us an experience that you had that was funny or startling or whatever. I'm sure you must have, you could probably write a book about the summer stock.
Oh, sure. The thing that Peninsula Players was kind of famous for, or maybe infamous for years when we were in our old theater building, were the bats. because we had lots of bats who lived in the pavilion that covered the audience. And sometimes during the show, because it was during dusk when they were on their way out for their evening meal, they would fly around in the theater before they would exit. And often they unintentionally became part of the play. There is a great story from, they were doing a farce, I believe it was in the 1990s, and there was sort of a chase happening and a door on stage opened and there was a bat that had been flying around for a couple minutes and the door opened and three actors ran out the door chasing each other and the bat followed them out the door. And apparently the audience just they stopped the show and applauded because it looked like it was planned.
Oh my gosh, that is a great story. Well, you know, when I have my plans, one of the things I like is I just go online and I order my ticket, I get them printed out, and so I get to pick where I'm going to sit.
Yes. Yes. You can. Our website is a great way to buy tickets. www.peninsulaplayers.com. I will share that. You can buy your tickets online. And as you say, you can actually choose your seats. If that sounds awful to you, you can also call the box office. We do have a fully staffed box office that also takes orders over the phone. You can also walk up to the box office. So there's plenty of ways you can find us and get your tickets.
I think one time I forgot to do it 1 year. And then so we showed up and it was a busy night. But we found three seats and we had a wonderful, just by walking up was fine. But that time I learned a lesson there, but it wouldn't hurt to have the tickets in advance.
We do fill up. So advance planning if you can, but if it's a last minute idea, still come on over.
I want to, we haven't really talked about the other couple of plays much. Trying, the play Trying, could you describe that for us?
Sure. It's a two-character play. It's actually based on real people. The main character is Judge Francis Biddle, who was the Attorney General under FDR. And he is in his retirement. When the play takes place, he is in his early 80s. And he has hired a young secretary to help him get his papers in order and help him with his correspondence. And you quickly find out that this is the third secretary he has had in very quick succession because he is not an easy person to get along with. And the secretary that he has is 25 years old. She has just moved to the United States from Canada, where she grew up on the prairie, and is a very determined young woman who is not going to let this cantankerous gentleman get the best of her. And it's a great story to see how the two of them figure out to work together and make a connection. And the playwright, her name is Joanna McClellan Glass. It's actually based on her true experience. She was actually the secretary to this judge, and it is based on her experience.
Oh man, that sounds great. And of course, Baskerville's Sherlock, I mean, lots of people have read The Hounds of the Baskervilles, but this is a different kind of take on it.
Yes, yes. So you have Holmes and Watson, just as you're going to expect. But then there are three other actors that play everybody else. So that is a huge part of the fun of this show. There's a lot of comedy in them quickly switching characters and costumes and hats and dialects to become different characters. So we'll still have the mystery and some of the spookiness, for lack of a better word, of the Sherlock Holmes mystery, but that will absolutely be rolled up together with the comedy of presenting this show in this manner.
Now, you mentioned in the beginning, or I mentioned, I forget who mentioned it, but the actors are living right there. Everybody's pretty much living right there, correct?
Yes, that's right. Everybody lives on campus.
And I understand that you have a capital campaign going
to
build some new housing for staff and interns.
Yes. So the new housing is completed. Our staff is living there this summer. That campaign continues. We are hoping to close out that campaign soon. We've had incredible generous donations and are still, making the final push to get that campaign closed. For so long, some of the buildings that our staff and interns had been living in prior to this year were original to this property when the Peninsula Players arrived in the 30s. And the ones we referred to as the new dorms were built in the early 1950s. So it was certainly time for an upgrade. And we are so pleased to be able to offer the amazing artists and staff and interns who live with us basic human accommodation. Everyone had indoor plumbing, but in a bathroom that was not attached to the place where they slept. So they had to walk outside in any sort of weather, in any time of day, to get to their bathroom. Now everyone has a bathroom in their very own room. And I know that's something we take for granted a lot of times, but it's a really wonderful step that we've been able to take for our company.
And I wanted to ask about interns because someone was asking about interns. What do interns do and how are they selected?
Sure. We have 10 interns every summer, and they two of them work in our administrative office, and the other 8 of them are working in different production departments. So we have an intern in the costume shop. We have one in the prop shop, one who works with electrics, meaning sound and lights. Mm-hmm. 3 of them work in the scene shop, and 2 of them are stage managers. So during the day, they work in those departments, helping to rehearse and build the upcoming show, or the administrative interns helping to sell tickets and publicize the upcoming shows. And then in the evenings, when you come, you will see them. They'll be guiding cars in the parking lot or ushering in the theater, selling concessions at intermission. And then they also become our stage crew and run the shows in the evening. So they are very busy individuals. We get applicants from all over the country and interview them in the late winter, early spring, and select them. And we have an incredible group of 10 people who are either still in college or have just graduated from college working with us and learning alongside of us this year.
What a great experience. It sounds like you learn a whole lot in that internship role. But I tell you what, you're going to have a lot of fun if you go to any of these plays. I've been to the musicals, I've been to the mystery. I've sort of, because of when I would happen to visit, I had a chance to view all of them, comedies, mysteries, musicals. And I've never gone away. I've always gone away with a smile on my face having really enjoyed the experience. So I want to thank both of you very much for being with us today and talking about Peninsula Players and the theater. And I hope the crowds are heavy every and I hope this it's full every night.
Well, thank you so much for having us. We had such a great time. Thanks, Larry.
Lots of fun. And just go online to, if you type in the Peninsula Players Theater, the website's going to pop up. And if I was, my advice is take a look and when you're going to be there and then pick out some tickets for a night. You're going to love it. Linda Fortunato, 17 seasons at Peninsula Players. And Rebecca Hurd, this is her first year and hopefully not her last. Hopefully she comes back for another summer. Appreciate them, both of them, very, very much. Coming up, we're going to take a look at a new book with a Wisconsin setting, history and murder and mystery. Coming up next with Kathleen Ernst. I'm Larry Mueller for the Ideas Network.